Hi, Brad.
How are you, Benny?
I'm so well, but I'm really a lot better now that I hear your voice.
My sultry voice. My sultry Wednesday evening voice.
Stop it. I just went from 6 to midnight. Brad, I got asked in a podcast the other day. It kind of made me uncomfortable because I didn't really know how to answer, but it was like one of those, like, what's a skill that like every man should know by like a certain age? And
what? Was there a specific age?
Yeah, maybe like an adult, like 18 or something.
Okay.
And the only thing that could pop in my mind was like, I don't know, change a tire, change a flat tire. Because it seems like a useful skill.
Not
like
cunnilingus?
No, see, that's exactly where I thought he was going to like want me to go. Was like, yeah, by the time you're 18, you really need to know how to like,
yeah,
you know,
I wish I'd known how to.
I hate these like those manly questions like that, you know? Like, I don't know.
It's pretty silly.
It bothers me. I'm like, I don't fucking know, man. Like, why am I the barometer for what a young man should be doing? I'm an old man.
But it
which
is,
means I should not be the barometer for anything young people are doing anymore. You know?
It's a great opportunity to come up with a clever answer, like how to talk yourself out of a fight. How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty important.
Yeah.
That's actually come in handy for me quite a few times in my life. I'm good at talking my way out of fights. But it helps when you're like 6'4" and 220 pounds.
Yes, talking it's much easier. Like, your skill set doesn't have to be quite the same as for me.
Yeah, all I gotta do is get this paw on someone. They just gotta feel it, and they're like, "Oh, Jesus, that's a big hand. I don't like that." So, I read something funny today, Brad.
Okay.
Did you know? You know how you know when America's in trouble, we always come up with like, oh, the U.S. is digging into our, you know, fuel reserves to help, like, you know, blah, blah, blah out. So you can pay, you know, $2.30 a gallon instead of $2.38 or whatever. Right. And I found out that Canada, our friendly neighbors to the north, as usual, during the pandemic, had to dig into their maple syrup reserves.
Ah! So no way.
I'm not even being bigoted. This really happened. So they were like running low. The world was running low on maple syrup. And someone named the Quebec maple syrup producers released, get this, 50 million pounds of maple syrup reserves.
Holy
half
shit.
Of the inventory of maple syrup, 70% of the world's maple syrup.
70% of the world's maple syrup.
With the U.S. apparently being its biggest client.
Right. Of course, I'm wondering if the U.S. doesn't consume 65% of the
maple syrup. It's probably mostly us. And I would say like a large portion of it goes to IHOP, I would assume. Because you know,
none of it goes to fucking IHOP. Are you kidding me? That's the problem. IHOP doesn't have any fucking maple syrup.
Sure,
it's
they do. They
have
the three.
Corn syrup.
Oh, not real syrup.
No, they don't have any. There's a maple syrup product has never entered into any of those restaurants.
I guess I like the butterscotch syrup. I don't know what they make.
It's literally high fructose corn syrup with corn syrup to thicken it. That's all it is.
So not real maple syrup. You've probably tapped maple trees before.
Pet peeve
in your
of
life,
mine,
like,
honestly. Yes, I have.
You have.
Yeah, my dad did it. So I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think I was still living at home when he started getting into it. So I was probably in high school, and he continued like all through college when I was in college. I mean, he did it up until not too long ago. But yeah, you know that the ratio is like 100 to 1 or something crazy.
100 to 1 what?
You've got to boil it down.
Yes.
So you tap the trees and it literally drips, drip, drip, you know, and you go collect it. I mean, I remember the first time, you know, that we did, I'm like 14 or something. And, you know, you go, you get a bucket and there's like a half an inch in the bottom of it, you know, and you pour it into another bucket and you, after walking for like a mile around in the woods, you come back with like a quarter of a bucket, you know? I'm like, how much is this going to be, Dad? And he's like, it might be like a shot glass full.
Oh, after you boil it down.
Yeah.
So you need a lot of tapping to get a decent amount of syrup.
Yeah.
I love how you say syrup, by the way. I just, when I was recording the new Mercy Union, we were at Audio Pilot Studios in North Jersey. Nice guy named Rob Freeman. And one day I walk in and there's freshly baked banana breads and maple syrup right from the compound in a little, that's nice, in a little bell jar. I was like, you know, this is, forget fancy TVs, all the stuff these studios get. I like getting there in the morning to fresh maple syrup.
It's not a hard process, you know, and all the, and the truth is, like, you don't have to walk around miles through the woods. Like, if you don't want to get it, you know, we used to get, I mean, he would get enough maple syrup that he would give it away. Like I, right, would, you know, when I went to college, I'd take a gallon back. I mean, not a gallon, I'd take like a little pint or quart back with me. And then he'd give it to friends. And, but yeah, if you have like one or two big maple trees on your property, you could tap them and get enough to maybe, you know, even, I don't know, last you the season.
When are you going back out to the woods, Brad? You know, when are you getting out of the city?
Not
you staying
enough
there forever? You're going to die in New York?
Looks that way.
Never back to the woods, even when the kids are grown?
Maybe. Maybe then.
I feel like there's a long beard and a collection of maple trees and some tapping into, like, so, well, you know, a little bit of, you know, bibliological archaeology. You know, like, I feel like you have a second run in you here.
I've got
sort
enough
of a forest wizard, a little.
I've got enough hobbies to last a few different retirements. Put it that way.
It's like, true.
I'll never be bored. There's too many things that I.
We'll get you the internet out there, kid. You can still podcast with me. You know.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
I'll leave the family and wife here and go out to the woods and become a hermit.
All right. Let's get off air actually and talk about buying land somewhere. Okay. Because that's really what we should be doing right now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you to Deanna for joining us on this podcast.
She's delightful.
She is super fun. I really like the new record, Sincere Engineers, new record, the Bless My Psyche. It's like, I don't know. It's just automatically infectious for all the good reasons. And you know me, like lyrically, I don't like poetry. I don't like metaphor. I don't. I like people to tell me stories that I can just understand. And I immediately connected with her lyrics in that way, you know, just this very real human experience that you can get behind. And I don't know, catchy fucking hooks all over the record. Hooks
absolutely
on hooks. Franz Nicolay did some of the cool key parts on it. Like it's really cool. And I don't know. She treats it in a way that is very endearing, you know? Like just I like the lack of intention in some ways where it's like makes her music more pure, you know? I enjoy it and I'm looking forward to the rest of the career.
Absolutely. I'm with you, dude.
Let's listen to this interview.
Okay.
Wait, Brad, is it that weird time of the year again when the moon eats computers or whatever?
Mars.
It is. Yeah. My boss is really into that stuff.
Oh, really? So it's not. So it is the gods.
Wait, what's it called again?
Retrograde. Yeah. Or something?
Yes.
Mercury. Yeah,
is it actually that time?
Yeah, it happened like 2 days ago. My boss like warned everybody.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So
I thought Brad was almost kidding last time that happened. So wait, do you actually know what the fundamental concept of that is?
Oh, no. Oh. No, I just know my boss notifies us that there might be like communication issues.
Yeah. I just heard yesterday that apparently the airplanes are worried about 5G being launched because they think that 5G is going to fuck up the airplane systems when it launches. And they're doing this like last minute proposal to make like a buffer zone around airports.
Don't we already have that?
Yeah. I thought so.
I don't know. I couldn't even get into this podcast recording. So.
If I didn't have Brad, I'd be like driving to Chicago and writing this out in shorthand.
Nice.
For Brad. Yeah, that's my style too.
Ink and feather.
Which is surprising to me because you, I thought you seemed pretty good at the internet to me.
Oh, I'm not. I mean, I don't know. I figured out how to use Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, you have GarageBand. Do you use that?
Yeah. I have graduated to using Logic recently, but this is my old computer.
That's pro.
Is it?
Logic? Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mine don't know how to use it. Wow.
Just
so how do you is that how you are getting together like demos and songs these days when at your house, you're putting them straight into the computer? Like how do you demo at home?
Usually it's been like voice recordings, but since I got that, I'll like add some harms because that's my favorite part of music. They're the most fun part.
Super fun.
See how many times you can layer yourself.
But yeah, and then I'm like, oh man, this got worse when you add too much. But
before you know it, it's like a Foreigner song. And you're like, oh shit.
Exactly.
A little far.
Well, you know, there's a famous story of Queen back in the day when everything was on tape that they had a slave reel to do all the vocals on, and they actually wore the tape out. They did so many vocal passes on it and so many overdubs that they wore it out.
Wow.
I think that's cool. I don't understand how tapes work, so I don't. I feel like I don't get the full effect, but
it uses magic. Magic, darling. These kids these days don't understand magic.
It's true.
Is it eight track or A track?
It was 8-track and A dat. I think that was the movement of it. When you put together as demos, is it all vocals? Is that always your starting point, or do you work with any like guitar in the introduction?
Definitely guitar. That usually starts it. And I'll do like, I don't have like a bass, so I like make it sound like a bass. Mm. Just play on my guitar.
Nice.
I try to make them like sound super full.
You know what's a really fun way to play bass? Just give you a little tip here.
Sure.
Use an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, that's what all of my demos are.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
And then pitch
it
down.
Play the top string or the bottom string.
Yeah, a lot of people take their electric guitar and then they pitch it down and think that it sounds like a bass. And it does, but I found acoustic is even more like sort of
nice.
Cool. It sounds like a stand-up bass.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And then you like run it through the filter.
Brad just old-splained you.
Oh, it's okay. I need it. I don't know. I don't know much. So.
But like when you're putting together those ideas, you know, is there like for you a song in mind or lyrical ideas in mind that are going to connect with that guitar part, or it's sort of organic? Like, is it the melody or the actual lyric that dictates, you know, where the music's going to sit for you?
Okay, so I kind of lied. I usually, like, have lyrics ready to go, and then I'll do, like, a voice recording of it on my phone when I, like, I'm just sitting on the couch, and then when I have something that's worth, like, putting onto the computer, I'll do that and then like add to it from there and finish it up.
That's cool.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Because I can like, I do like text or in the notes app on my phone, just like work on lyrics all the time. And then when I have a chance, I sit down like on the couch with the guitar.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Like, what's your writing, like not writing songs, but actual writing process like? Because, you know, so much of the music seems like observational in a way, you know, or at least painting a picture of the surrounding you're in at the time, which I quite like personally.
Thank you.
Like, are you like constantly... like jotting notes through the day when you see shit, or do you have to, you know, like sit down and grind or something at a certain point?
No, it's mostly like throughout the day sort of deal. It's not like every day, but it's like when I hear something that like perks up my ears, I'll write it down and then try to build off of it.
Have like a eureka moment at different parts of the day.
For sure. Yeah. And then like, I've done that for like, I don't know, 5-something years now. So now I have stuff that like if I have something like from 4 years ago, that's like, oh, that fits into this thing I just have. And then I could like finish up a song that was just sitting.
Right.
It's kind of a mess, but whatever.
Hey, it works. Whatever the process is. Like, I always find that interesting. Like, for people who, you know, go out into the world and work and are in their surroundings or with their friends and are constantly taking ideas for songs. Does like life kind of turn into sort of one giant avenue for a song? Does it like get confusing at any point?
I think I get what you're saying. I would say like, yeah, I'm not like the confusing part. I don't know, but like, I definitely, like, you know, some songs are inspired by like work or like somebody like bothering me or like, you know, not doing their job. And right, then, but then I like kind of turn it into like a relationship type thing. And then everyone's like, oh, it's like a love song. And it's like, no, really. It's like, I hate my coworker or something like that.
Right. I see. Okay.
So it's definitely like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example, but, yeah, like, my daily life definitely inspires what comes out.
Sure. Well, speaking of your job, I found that pretty interesting. So you're a animal scientist, biologist? What's your actual title?
Well, I'm like an assistant supervisor, but it's in like animal lab animal research.
Yeah.
So it's like... we just like take care of the animals so that like researchers can just like come in and do their work.
So what are we talking here? We got what kind of crew? Mice, rats, we got monkeys. What are we dealing with?
All of that.
All of it.
Yeah. I only work with mice though.
Oh, okay. Mostly.
You're a mouse specialist?
Yeah, basically. Mm. I mean, I don't do any of this like science. I just like make sure that my staff
that they're healthy. Job.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know a healthy mouse? Is its eyes red or?
There's what do they call them? I don't know. There's like some parameters, like their body size or no, I don't know. Man, I sound like an idiot.
Well, you probably didn't think you were going to be answering questions your mouse aptitude.
The stuff is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone else who does this job.
We don't want to know about fucking music. I want to know about these mice.
I do want to know like, about these mice.
It's called body scoring, I think. So like a 5 would be like a kind of plump and active mouse, and 1 would be like thin and hunched and stuff.
Ooh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like this process may present the mice in body image.
Totally.
Body image issues that you're giving them. Fucked totally. Up, dude. But is when you're doing the mice for research, aren't there like sometimes in order to do the research, they have to like recess one gene or like do you have like different types of mice for different types of research or is it kind of this?
There's different species. That's like more the researcher's department. We just like literally take care of whatever is there.
Gotcha.
But there, you know, there's black, white, brown, mix, like gray, you know, I don't know, different strains.
And they all have different types of properties that work, like whatever, for
yeah,
for different types of research.
Yeah.
And it's is it like it's medical research and stuff like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not medical, not cosmetic or anything. It's like we have like some diabetic mice.
picture like a diabetic like mouse. Like,
they pee a lot.
Someone give me some orange juice, please.
So, what made you? You know, why were you the person for this job?
I got a degree in biology and didn't get into dental school, so I had a degree to use, and my mom found a like job opening for it. And that's
so it wasn't a mouse thing. You didn't major in mice.
No, okay. No, I just general biology. And I needed a job. So I fell into it in like 2016 or something. And I've been doing it ever since. So
now you work with the animals like pretty intimately. Like, does it always feel like a very worthwhile thing? Like that whatever they're discovering from this research is like worth whatever has to happen to the mouse. Like, does it feel like a good trade-off?
Rewarding. Yeah, definitely. It's like, it's the reason we have like the vaccine and stuff. Cause they, somebody tested on, I think, like, I don't know if it was gerbils or some other type of rodent was like a big reason that they were able to come up with a vaccine. But we've had like some pretty notable like transplant surgeries or something at our facility and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know them. That's unfortunately that's how notable I I remember. But yeah, no, it's like it's definitely like easy to see the like the greater good that happens from it.
Sure. So. I remember hearing the vaccines are only safe as well because of horseshoe crabs, like the blood of a horseshoe crab. Did you hear that?
I think I heard that also. Yeah. I can't
remember. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of have a weird fascination with rats. Like, I think that they're, like, I don't know if I'd ever, like, own one and bring one in my home. I accidentally ate a bunch of rat poop once. That's a whole story. I even fed some to my son.
Did you get sick?
I didn't. Like, I think I think it was, you know, a little self-fulfilling because I didn't feel sick. And then once I realized I had ingested what I ingested, I automatically felt sick. So,
of course, yeah.
So I do think my brain did it to me, but, yeah, what? Well, yeah, it was an old drum space, very junky. But rats seem like these really impressive creatures. Like, do you think this idea that like rats could definitely outlive man?
Was that the end of the sentence?
That's the end of my question.
Do you think, like, I didn't hear
that. Do you think rats will outlive man? Yeah.
Like, oh, I get like, it. Yes, yeah.
Are they just better at adaptation and survival than we are? You know? Seems like
I have no idea.
Their tails come back.
Yeah. Have you ever looked up, like, on YouTube, rat tricks?
No.
Oh, you got to do that. They're like dogs.
Yeah, they're smart.
Oh, really? You can like proper train a rat?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. And I had heard that these I think it was in South America, there was like a type of rat that used to eat a certain type of frog that was poisonous. And you know, of course they kept, you know, dying from it, and eventually they found the rat adapted and would literally eat around the fucking gallbladder of the frog so they wouldn't die. Like, it's impressive.
That's crazy.
I know. And, you know, it doesn't... Brad, you got to have some thoughts on this. You live in New York City. They're like pigs.
Rats are... First of all, yes, they will definitely outlive man, and they will become the next dominant species. The planet of the rat.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be okay.
I've never seen a New York rat before.
What?
Oh, man.
You've never been in New York then.
No, I've been there like a few times. It's always in the morning.
Yeah, take the subway.
That's not even true. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, I've stepped on them. Boy.
Oh.
It's exactly what you imagine. The sound, the feeling, everything.
Ugh.
Brad, you ever gotten like face to face, toe to toe? He's just grilling you?
No, I've never had to show down with a rat.
Never had to make yourself big, make him step down.
We've both always tried to go our separate ways.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if they try to avoid you. Oh. Well, anyway, it's interesting.
Do you know the pizza rat?
Who's that?
Oh yeah, the one carrying the pizza up the stairs.
He made the papers.
Yeah, it was a big, like, you know, meme, a big YouTube moment. You
Wait,
never
we
saw
talking
a pizza
slice
rat?
Or a whole pie?
Yeah, slice.
He was bringing it to Splinter, man. He was Splinter. He was bringing it to the Ninja Turtles. We all know the Ninja Turtles love pizza. So, all right, enough about rats. So you grew up, like, outside of Chicago, I read, with Orland
yep.
Park.
Yep, that's it.
Can I ask you a question about Orland Park?
Sure.
Apparently, it was touted the world center of something. Do you know what it is?
Is it the Gulf Center?
Yes.
It's on all the water towers. But I don't think they knocked down all the golf courses and put up, like, housing. So I don't know
if
that's
so
true.
So they lost the world's golf center?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong. It probably still goes by that, but...
Well, based on the Wikipedia, it says, according to village lore, someone counted 1,089 golf holes within a 15-mile radius of the village, said Jody Marneris, Orland Park spokeswoman in 1996. The, in Jesus. Quotes, World's Golf Center concept was then proudly plastered on the village flag and painted on the town's 7 water towers. That's a lot of water towers.
It's a pretty big town, but that's very ridiculous.
So you are from the World's Golf Center. How does that make you feel?
I've never played golf in my life. No. I like mini golf, though.
Oh, classic. Well, I mean, I got to assume mini golf is included in this 1,089 golf holes that Orland Park has. So I think
maybe
you added to it. So what's the vibe of Orland Park? Nothing too crazy?
No.
Like painfully uncrazy? Or
it's like there's 1,000 banks and restaurants. That's okay. It. That's
good restaurants or mediocre?
Like your typical Olive Garden.
Right.
I can't even think of like a independently owned one at the moment to plug.
Okay, what's your favorite restaurant though?
In Orland Park?
Sure.
You
don't have to be, you know, you don't have to like prop a mom and pop. It could be Olive Garden.
No, I mean, wherever is, I don't know. The Fridays.
Whatever's free. Whatever. Wherever.
Fridays.
Whatever looks like it's the least crowded. That's right. Another Orland thing. It's the main street is like you never want to be there on a Saturday at 10.
A little wild.
It's like gridlock traffic.
Oh, really?
And there's a mall.
It's that crazy Mall Fridays crowd, Brad.
Yeah.
You never lived out in the suburbs. You don't know about this. Fridays gets wild.
Yeah. The Kohl's. They share a parking lot with the Kohl's.
Yeah. They have oversized beers, you know, mozzarella wedges. Just gets wild.
I just want the peanuts on the floor. I always thought that just made me think of the suburbs. And what is that place?
Is that Lone Star?
I think that's one steakhouse chain that does that. That's your whole perception of the suburbs is one random steakhouse chain.
Peanut shells all over the floor.
I don't think they do that anymore because someone fell.
What? Someone slipped on the peanut shells?
Yeah.
Oh.
They give you a bucket now, I think.
Oh, nothing gold can stay. Right?
All right. I don't have to move to the suburbs.
Yeah, you're done. You're done. Only Outback for you, Brad.
Have you guys played like Warped Tour or anything?
I have, not in Chicago though.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was gonna
are
say
are you the home of Warped Tour out there?
It's the town over. You would get the point if you were there. it's like the same basically. So that's what I was going to reference.
Then it's some random, there was a run for years where we had such a difficult time finding a good Chicago show that we ended up playing in Normal, Illinois all the time.
That's so like College Town, right?
Yeah. I've played Normal like 5 times.
Okay.
Randomly.
Metro is the spot in Chicago.
Rockford,
right?
A bunch of times.
Oh yeah. Rockford.
Yeah.
Or Cherry Valley was the name of the place there. An old band of mine, when I was like 16 or 17, drove from New Jersey to that Cherry Valley American Legion Hall to open for Alkaline Trio and then drove back.
I would do it. I don't blame
you had
them.
To. Fucking trio in Illinois. Yeah. Like, and there was like 100 people there, but for us that was like it was like, you know, fucking Yankee Stadium. I would have done
that's
it.
That's amazing.
In a heartbeat. Yeah, it's great.
Same.
So what brought your family out that way? Like, are you old school Illinois, or did your parents come out that way for a reason, or
my family grew up, my dad grew up like closer to Indiana and my mom in the city. And I don't know. This is like all I know. So,
what kind of work were your parents into?
My mom's a teacher and my dad's like a maintenance engineer guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, you know, I hear it talked about all the time, sort of the, you know, idea of like what it means to be like a Midwesterner and like, and what values are for like, is that just like something like coastal people make up, or do you think there's an actual thread to that? Like there's like a personality trait of a Midwesterner.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Cause I like, if there is one, I probably have it and I can't like pinpoint it.
Well, you got the accent.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad.
Don't worry. I say coffee half the time. So I got my own issues.
Nice. How do you say box?
Box?
Like B-O-X. Yeah. Box. You can't even understand.
Box.
B-A-X.
Yeah, I don't say it like you. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know which one's right. I'll never say that my shit Jersey accent I'm saying anything correct. I never know.
That's so funny. I don't know. There's like a saying where it's like people from the West Coast are fine but are kind but not nice, and East Coast is nice but not kind or something.
Mm.
Are you familiar with that? I don't know.
I haven't heard it, but that sounds like it sounds pretty accurate, like hearing it.
Yeah, I don't know where Midwest falls on it. I don't know why I brought that up.
So, I mean, like when you go to the East Coast and you're around a bunch of people like that, I mean, do you find it, you know, really energetic, really, you know, much more negative or positive or anything than a group of Midwesterners hanging out?
I don't know. This is hard. I don't want to like offend anyone.
Oh no, please.
I don't know. Like,
I bring people on here to offend. Like that's
not nice.
That's the whole, that's my whole goal here, you know,
burn some bridges.
Yeah. Let's burn some bridges, Brad.
I feel like everyone I personally met has been super nice.
Right.
From both coasts.
Right.
I don't know if I can make like a statement.
Very, very diplomatic. See, I think your answer is Midwestern.
Yep.
Maybe. I think we've just gotten to the core of the whole thing. Like, you won't say anything bad about anyone.
I'm trying not to. I mean,
you
I don't
can't
know. Like,
do it.
What even are like, what do people say they are?
I mean, Midwest, I guess it's that. It's like there's an ease and a kindness, I think, like a forgiving nature to it. Yeah,
that's
cool. I think that would be like, and I mean, I ask this in sort of a, I find Midwestern people to be like that personally. You get your random Toby Jags or something where you're like, whoa, you know, like.
But he's West Coast,
right? Yeah, he's not even a
real. He's like a bylay of
right. So I do think there's something to it. I mean, I've spent a lot of time out there, and I do find. I guess I find people out there to be, like kind, and easygoing, but also like almost like painfully non-confrontational.
Yeah, yeah, I you can know? See that. Totally, and, yeah. You know,
and your answer is definitely a microcosm, I think.
That's really funny.
You're like, is there one person on any of these coasts that's not going to like what I say? I'm not going to say it, you know? But Brad, we got to only interview people from like the Bronx. So they just, someone just comes on here and just talks shit the whole time, you know?
That's funny. I know in New York, you guys don't have like alleys, right?
No, nowhere to pee.
that's important to
it's
us.
It's like the worst. Like I don't like being that, you know, if I go out in this, you know, for a little background, you know, there's a lot of bigotry from New Yorkers about people from New Jersey. They call us the bridge and tunnel people. They say we drive in on Friday and like fuck up their city and leave on Sunday for work. It's like a whole thing. So when you already have that on your mind,
yeah,
and then you're a little drunk and you really got to pee, you know, like I already think I'm like the bridge and tunnel asshole. And now I'm the one like in the middle of the street pissing on someone's tire because I can't find an alley. So it does. It makes me feel strange and self-conscious. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. Maybe I was meant to be a Midwesterner. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah, I think you do okay out there. But the
I'm really non-confrontational.
Yeah, you're not non-confrontational, though.
No, I'm not.
But, you know, you could, I think you would blend well. Not blend, but I think you would, I think you'd be well received, put it that way.
No. Oh,
because you're an honest, thanks. You're an honest guy.
Thanks, Brian.
And that's, you know, that's appreciated.
Oh,
not so much on the West Coast.
No, yeah, no, they just lie to everybody.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just so you know, let's clarify it right now, because I was just having we had some family that's been that just moved to the States. They've kind of been living out of the country for years. And we were explaining to them the difference between West Coast, especially like Southern California, because they're moving to Southern California. And the difference, and Benny will back me on this, Southern California and West Coast in general, they act nice, but they're not nice.
Right. Yeah. That's,
New Yorkers and East Coasters, but specifically New Yorkers, don't act nice, but they actually are really fucking nice.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And that will get you 85% of the way.
Yeah, that was the quote I was trying to think of.
Oh, really?
It's like, okay. Yeah, like the example that I read was like, on the East Coast, if you needed to like get your car like dug out of the snow, right. an East Coast person would be like, you idiot, I'll like help you with that.
Right. Yeah, you fucking dick. Let me help you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, and then the give like, a little grief, that's it. Yeah.
Right. And West Coast would be like, oh, that sucks. I'm sorry.
And then like bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have the same problem. I think the West Coast gets a rap for it, but I gotta give someone else a little shit for the same thing, which is parts of the South.
Oh.
You know, like that. The Southern hospitality thing is sometimes worse than the BS West Coast thing. Because it's like, how many layers of bullshit do I got to get through to find out you don't fucking like me? You know? Like, in California, there's like two. In, like, Nashville, there's like six. You know? It takes so long to find out. Like, oh, you're just being nice because you're supposed to, but you don't like me at all. Like,
that's funny.
I do have a theory about the cold, and that like people who don't live through winters don't understand something about life and like survival. Yeah. And just, and even my wife was asking about it, like, you know, what is like, I thought that one of the things that really tells somebody who's from the Midwest is there's this kind of like ease sometimes. And I think it's maybe because like a lot of parts of the Midwest, you're just fucking freezing.
Yeah.
Like almost half the year. And it's kind of got to slow things down and you got to be inside and you have to like find ways to like, I don't know.
Not just, go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, do you think there's some truth to this theory?
Yeah, for sure. It, like, builds character, for right? sure. Yeah. Like, the story I have about, like, the worst cold that we've, like, had to deal with, last year, I wake up at, like, 4 a.m. to get to my job. And, we had, like, a negative 60-degree night with the wind chill. And I went to Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee, and I rolled out my window and it wouldn't roll back up.
Oh my god, no.
The mechanism froze. So I drove from the burbs to the city. It's like an hour. I like,
holy smokes.
I closed a blanket in the door and I like put the heat on my hands. Yeah, it sucked. I could have just called off. I should have.
But you would. You, yeah, but you
you're
wouldn't.
Too nice like, to. Yeah.
But the you're Midwestern value. Yeah.
Yeah, the Midwest. Got to get to work. Got to get to work. Don't care. I can't. I just want to start quoting Fargo on you. It's so
awesome. I've never seen that.
Need a good breakfast, Margie. But
that sounds like everyone's mom.
Yeah,
everyone around here.
Oh, Prowler needs a jump. So good. I'm glad my theory is right. And that's fucking brutal. Like, you could have lost a finger, man. Like,
oh, it was it was stupid. Really, that's I had like,
yeah, that's the level of cold you're not supposed to fuck with, right?
No, yeah, it's yeah. really bad. I had like my car hard on and stuff. So
oh, good.
It was fine.
Negative 60. I'm sure your car was killing it.
It had a big day.
Yeah, it had a big day. So when you're like growing up around Orland Park, like how did you? I heard you got a guitar pretty early, but how did you get tied to, you know, alternative music and like the punk scene so early on?
I went to daycare till I was like 13 because my parents worked.
Yeah, yeah.
And
also an after school kid. I feel you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And somebody there got me into like Newfound Glory and Yellow Card, and we went to Warped Tour, and that kind of kickstarted it.
Nice
for me. So
you just had like an automatic like just like reaction to that type of music or that type of message or.
I probably didn't put that much thought into it. I just thought the songs were catchy.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
What
was the first like cool show that you remember seeing?
Newfound Glory and Green Day.
Nice.
At the United Center or whatever. I don't know.
And when did you start getting down to like Chicago for shows?
let me think, like sixth grade maybe, when I found like Alkaline Trio and the Lawrence Arms.
So how, from someone from like Orland Park, like how you get into Chicago? Like what's the deal?
Oh, my mom drove me. She's seen nice. Brendan's like the the heyday of his banter.
Oh, okay. So she'd actually go to the shows with you too?
Oh yeah.
Oh fuck yeah.
That's yeah, awesome. I mean, I still like, I could be like, oh, you know, that band with the guy with the kid, and she knows exactly who I'm talking about.
So what kind of band? So your mom's seen a lot of cool bands then.
She was at the Sundowner Falcon Lawrence Arms show.
What?
American Steel.
That's like a classic, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, I was like 14, so I couldn't go alone, and I'm an only child.
Right.
And I didn't have like friends that liked it, so.
And she was always up for it, like good sport about it?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a, you know, part of the parenting, you
well,
know?
I mean, not every parent is
oh, no, I
driving
know. I'm
your
very
ass
grateful.
To Chicago and sitting at the show, so it's a pretty good one.
For sure. No, yeah, I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
But she didn't, like, complain or anything, so.
I spent a lot of time hopping, like, super dangerous trains and shit to, like, do the same thing because I couldn't get a ride, so.
It's nice.
Yeah, that's a nice. And when she was at the shows, would she like be interactive with the show or just kind of like sit back in the cut? Like,
oh, it was just sit back.
Yeah. Yeah. Not
yeah. No, it was
all that.
No, definitely not. Just chaperoning.
It's pretty awesome though. And speaking of your mom, she seems to have a nice connection to your musical career. Did you write like the first Sincere Engineer record in her car?
Yeah. just because like I didn't want like because I so I was like in college and I would like stay up till like 5 a.m. and like just play guitar instead of study.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to like keep them up, so I like went into the garage and in their car. And that's where I did like a lot of jamming.
Yeah, I actually talked to Toby prior to doing the interview just to get some background on, you know,
okay.
Like, no, trust me. He, you know, is singing your praises like it didn't
oh,
even
awesome.
Take,
yeah.
Didn't even take you down one peg. Like,
that's yeah. So nice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like really, really nice.
He could have.
But like, you know, he did make it a point to tell me that, you know, he always thought you were cool and always dug the tunes and, you know, thought it was rad to see like, you know, this little girl like stage diving at shows and like kind of just fucking being rad like that. But the thing that he kept bringing up and that really surprised him as the years went on is how like hard of a worker you are and like the kind of focus you have towards your goal and the thing mm-hmm. you're doing and what you just said attests to that, you know, like having such a drive to write songs that you have to, you know, go out to a car at 5 a.m. and like, you know, make sure you're writing those songs. So like, where did that come from for you? I mean, like, when did you just discover like, I have to do this? Like, I don't have a choice. Like, I gotta sit down. I gotta write. Like when did that really start for you?
I don't know. I mean, some days I don't feel like that at all, but,
of course,
I don't know. Like, so Toby gave me my first show opening for Brendan. I had like 5 songs that I just, you know, I was like 22. I didn't know what I was doing.
All acoustic.
Yeah. 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 And, I had like a really fun time. It was like the best night of my life. And I was like, well, I, you know, might as well keep going, you know,
where was that show?
At the Double Door.
Oh, sweet.
In Chicago. Yeah,
so
it was awesome.
At the Double Door opening for Brendan?
Yep.
That's, yeah, pretty fucking cool for a show.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, I why not keep crying? So then I wrote that, like, first record. And then, you know, it snowballed from there.
Yeah.
But it was, like, never my intention. Like I said, I went to school because I thought I was going to be a dentist, so...
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like, you know, but it's for no lack of work. I mean, it's not like you just like, you know, like fell into it without anything.
No. Yeah. I mean, I had the, definitely like interested, but I was always like, no, I could never do that. That's crazy.
I mean, it seems like you have a hard time kind of like considering yourself like a songwriter and musician. Like, you know, you are, right? Like, do you see yourself like that? Like, still, or are you still?
Yeah, no, I do. Okay. But I didn't like, I wasn't in band in high school, and that's like one of my biggest regrets now.
Oh, really?
Just because like my bandmates were, and they were all like in choir, and they'll like, I'll be like, oh, here's this song, and they're like, oh, it's in A, and I'm like, what? I don't know. and then they're like, oh, they, you know, the fifth, well, I'll sing the fifth note, and it'll be like this harm, and I'm like, I don't, I just kind of, you know, I don't know how to explain. I don't have that technical knowledge. I wish I did now.
Sure.
But
I mean, I hear stuff like that though, and like, I, you know, you have a really like distinct way of writing, you know, and a distinct way of singing, and like, if you went to music school, maybe you wouldn't, you know, like,
sure, yeah, so yeah.
Sometimes people really do train, I don't know, like the cool out of themselves, you know.
I can like, see that. Yeah, so, yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's fine. Certainly, the way everything's going, I wouldn't have any regrets about it. So he also, I was going to do a mystery friend for this, but I already gave it up. Did you jump in frozen Lake Michigan?
No.
Oh, no. You didn't do it.
No,
what was your connection to people jumping in the frozen lake?
There's this dude in Chicago who, I think his story is that he was like really hungover one day and jumped in the lake, and if he felt better, and then he decided to do it every day, even on those days where it was like negative 60.
Oh, wow. Okay. So proper polar bear club shit.
Totally. Yeah. And, he, like has musicians come on and like play him out to jump. And I have this song called Shattering that's like, I'm going to jump in Lake Michigan. So I was like, of course I'll do that. So I did it. It was like one of the coldest days. It was like negative 20 or something.
Oh.
He jumped, not me.
Wait, so tell me about like this dude's vibe. Like, does he live close to the lake and just like runs back to his house? What does he wear?
Just shorts.
Just straight shorts.
Like maybe swim. I wasn't examining, but.
And the lake's not iced over, right? Because
oh,
like,
it was. It was. He had to use like a ball and chain and like bust a spot open for himself.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And he does it every day. Is there like,
yeah, he still does it.
A crew that like watches him every day, or he like,
I think on the days where it's like more of a, like those days, yeah, there was a ton of people. Brendan's wife Abby was there when I did.
Okay.
Yeah, there was maybe like, he's got like a little sound guy who like did the sound for my acoustic guitar and okay. Negative 20 degrees. I'm sure it sounded amazing.
What part of Chicago is this in?
It's at one of the beaches. I can't remember which one. Melrose, maybe? Right.
Which I just found out existed. I told people, I was like, fuck you, Chicago beaches. Like, there's not a Chicago. What are you talking about? And someone sent me an image of someone surfing on a lake, and I'm like, what the fuck is
really
happening right now? This is bizarre. I don't think the waves were very big, but
no,
I did
no.
have to be convinced that Chicago had beaches. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. So this dude seems like now kind of like a Forrest Gump. Like, I know a story. There's a guy.
I don't get that.
Well, there's a guy in Miami who I read about, who apparently runs the same stretch of beach in Miami mm-hmm. Beach, I think 6 or 7 miles every day. And he started doing it like literally through hurricanes, like
yeah.
when Miami is like evacuated, he does it like, and it's now been like 20 straight years, and Forrest Whoa. Gump style, people like go down what? There in the morning and just run with this dude.
That's awesome.
So I was wondering if like some people like take the plunge with this guy now, like it's some like polar bear, like, you know, support
the challenge
almost. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anybody do it with him. But
You'd
I don't
never
know.
Do it. Would you do it?
I don't know.
Oh, I like your delay. You're intrigued.
Well, like, what's crazy is, like, when it's, like, zero, the water is still, like, 30, 40 degrees, so it'd be warmer in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Listen, you survived the open window after Dunkin' Donuts.
That's true. I should be well prepared.
Yeah, I think you should do it.
The Carhartt.
Wow. I'm fascinated by this guy jumping in Lake Michigan every day. That's really...
Yeah. I could... I'll tag you in... Or I'll send you the little clip of me and him.
Good for you. I'm glad you got involved with something like that. I think I just came up with a new video concept maybe for you. Like ice fishing, like you all make holes in the ice and then go under. I don't know. Well, I saw the Recluse in the Making video with the Sims stuff, which is, I thought was really cool. And I heard you were a really big Sims fan and got kind of obsessed with those games. And
yeah, when I was younger.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something about that because I have I ran into a big problem with those Sims games. I really, really like them too. I play like all the Sims stuff, the city builders, the like Farmvilles, and you know, like I love
Tycoon.
Games like that. Yeah. So much fun for me. And I get really invested in the places, but to the point that I feel like when I no longer want to play the game, that everyone's going to die.
Really?
Yeah. Like, did you never have that problem with Sims?
No, like a sort of Tamagotchi situation.
Well, explain what that is to me.
That's like that little game in the 90s where, like, if you didn't feed it for three days,
right.
It would die.
Yeah, kind of. So I would be like, I would be thinking about it, and I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want to play Farmville anymore. But I'd be like, fuck, like, the animals are going to die. You know, like, I got to, like, oh, so you never had this problem?
I did not, no. Oh, I used to have a more, like, existential, like, why am I playing this when I could just go be living my own life?
Yeah, that is an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you know, Benny, they might do better without you. You don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Without your interference.
What do you mean they can't? They would do better? I am God in those games. That's why I feel so bad. I literally created them. I am their creator, you know? So just pulling the plug, it's fucked up. It's like, what if we're actually in the Matrix right now and someone just decides, like, meh, I'm done with this game. And then all of a sudden, Deanna, Brad, and Benny, like, we don't even exist anymore. You know?
And nobody gets to hear this podcast?
No, it's all for naught. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it would be quick, so we wouldn't know.
That's true.
It may have happened.
Just do the flip the switch fast, right? You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those poor... I honestly feel bad for my animals, like, right now.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's, oh man.
It pauses it though, right?
I can't believe I did that to him, you know? Now, I think I took the app off. I deleted their universe, you know?
That's even worse.
That's even worse.
That's the asteroid.
Yeah. Oh man. I'm the, what did they call it in the movie? Planet Killer? I'm the Planet Killer.
Oh yeah. Is that Don't Look Up?
Yeah.
I watched that.
Me too. What'd you think?
It was scary.
Yeah. Fucked me up a little.
Same. But whatever.
I was inspired by the end, though.
Where they were all just eating.
Don't give anything away. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I know. I just said they're eating. eating.
Yeah, they're just eating, bro. Just having a meal. You're good.
People eating people.
Oh, eventually, for anybody who survived. So I went ahead and looked at some YouTube comments on one of your videos, which
there's some mean ones.
Yeah. By your snort. You got it. They're so stupid. But one of them I found even extra ridiculous because someone gave you sort of like a psychological diagnosis real fast.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Yeah. He's like, oh, she's a kinesthetic learner. And I'm like, you asshole, first off. Like, don't make me, like, Google something on a YouTube comment. Like, but I looked it up anyway to just be like, what's this jerk off talking about? And if you're listening, guy, Not a good comment, okay? Like, it's weird. But it says,
I didn't hate it.
You did it. Okay.
No.
I did it.
Benny did.
I was like, you know, like, stop diagnosing people on fucking YouTube comment. Just enjoy the video. But he said it's where it's a learning style in which learning takes place with physical activities rather than listening or watching demonstrations. So by his internet diagnosis, are you a kinesthetic learner? Was he right?
I'm going to say no. I mean, like, I learned what it was as a kid, because they would, like, you know, you get to, like, I don't know. It's like listening or reading or, like, you know, doing.
Yeah.
I think he said that because I, like, can't sit still, but I can, like, I can read.
You know? Yeah, bro, I can read, you know? I was just moving my hands. You know, it makes people nervous to do interviews on fucking camera, sure. Right? Like,
in his defense, I'm like that even not doing interviews, but, you know, they don't, like, I have a master's degree. I didn't get to, like, play with Play-Doh to get it.
Right. So. Right, you can just do, like, sensory learning to get your master's degree.
Exactly.
I wish you could. I might have one.
Oh, it'd be fun.
That's funny. So, whatever. Sorry, maybe I was a little harsh on that.
No,
thing.
No,
so,
it's, I mean, it's weird. For
sorry,
sure.
Guy. You know, I'm gonna.
But there's way worse.
We should diagnose him with something. For what is a diagnosis of someone who would write a diagnosis on YouTube? Hyper something. He's hyper something.
Hyper.
Yeah. Well, you got the fucking masters. Help me out. I didn't.
Oh, I don't.
I barely got out of high school, dog.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I noticed in the Trust Me video that you're a pretty solid air drummer. Are you, like, an avid air drummer in real life? And
in air drumming? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. What is the all-time best song to air drum to for you?
I don't know. A lot of them. I've been really into Ace of Spades. Ooh. Recently.
Oh, yeah. Great air drumming song.
Yeah, yeah.
The Beginning Phil?
Yeah. Ooh. Nice.
I love that beat.
I didn't know much about them, and my bassist was telling me how cool Lemmy was.
Yeah.
But he was like he held the microphone weird, and he needed a blood transfusion, but his doctor told him if he got real blood, it would, like, shock his system. And, stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's so cool.
That was definitely. It's like the ultimate, like, rock and roll story in all of its, like, badness and goodness was that guy, you know? Like, musically, I'm mixed on Lemmy, I gotta be honest. And I think I'm in the minority here, because, you know, you're supposed to just, it's like how everybody, like, loves Kobe Bryant to death.
Yeah.
But forgot he, like, sexually assaulted a woman, like, super bad. And everyone
was Lemmy.
But then he just turned into, like, girl dad and kept scoring 50 points and no one gave a shit. Like,
sure,
Lemmy's
sure.
Kind of the same thing to me. Like,
Lemmy is a collector of Nazi paraphernalia.
Yeah, he's a collector of Nazi shit.
It's a sensitive subject for one of
Benny's dad.
Gotcha.
You know, like, for all the things that make, like, a lifelong ripper a ripper, are the same things that don't allow you to live, like, a normal life, you know? Like,
sure.
Like, I'm a father. I couldn't do what Lemmy did and be a father. I can't go to sleep on cocaine every night and hang out at the Roxy and play Word Touch and, you know, like, cause that's what he famously did, you know? He was like a bar fly in LA. So it's, the bar, like, computer game machines. So.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I know. You know, to be fair, I didn't know that, and I only know that song by them.
It's okay. No. Lemmy's a legend. You can like Lemmy. Don't listen to Benny. He's ruining it for you.
No, listen. There's a whole thing to talk about here. I'm fascinated by why some people get away with shit and why other people don't. That is just what's fascinating to me. Like David Bowie is like everybody's king of everything. And they forget he spent 2 years as like a fake Nazi doing a record, like the tall white Duke or whatever. You know, like some people just get passes for shit and some people get killed for it. And I'm always fascinated why the ones who get a pass get a pass. I think it's performance based. I think like if Lemmy's music started sucking, all of a sudden he's a piece of shit. But people still liked his music. Kobe still kept fucking putting up 50 points and having MVP season. So they're like, yeah, I don't care about that, you know, but I don't know.
It's just weird.
Sorry I brought Lemmy down for you.
Oh, no. I literally just thought he was cool because he's saying like that and like that song.
He's cool.
I mean, despite all this, he's still cool.
You can't be that cool and not have, you know. Few things that might rub people the wrong
way. That's what I'm saying. He was just a total fucking freak, you know?
He was a freak.
And that's one of the reasons he was such a great musician, but also maybe a flawed human in the context of society. You
know? For sure.
I think a lot of great artists probably wind up in that box, right?
Yeah.
So we got to talk about something really important. Okay?
I think I know what it is.
You do? Yeah.
I don't know if Toby mentioned it.
What was up with drafting Khalil Mack, number one overall in a fantasy football draft?
I don't know much about football. So the story is, I was in a car with my boyfriend and his parents.
Okay.
When we were we were listening to the Bears draft on the radio.
Oh, okay.
And his dad's like a lifelong Bears fan, and when they said that we got Khalil, he like was cheering. He's like, "We're gonna win this year."
Oh, poor guy.
We got Khalil. So I was like, "Oh, he must be good." So I got him.
That's awesome.
That was pretty much it. And then like Toby texted me when that happened. He's like, "What did you just do?"
Yeah.
And then, I think that first game he like made some record of like the most points made by
defensive player. Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, maybe you're a genius."
Yeah. Maybe that's the smartest pick ever. No, not in the long run, but you did end up, didn't you win the league that year?
Yeah, it was all because of him. I have him now in my team, or is the season over?
I was in the finals, actually. I lost in the finals.
He mentioned that, yeah. I'm going to pick him every year just for, he's like my rabbit's foot.
I think you have to at this point. That was amazing, amazing. Yeah, Toby had to remind me of that. I asked you, like, when I got into your band, which was a while ago now. And when I contacted you and everything, for some reason, I did not connect the dots that the fantasy football team's sincere engineers was you.
That was me. And that's so funny.
I literally wrote Toby. He's like, I'm like, "Oh, wait." I'm like, "She's in our league with us?" He's like, "Yeah, dipshit." Like, sincere engineers. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that makes sense." That makes sense.
I texted him today and I said, "Do you know Benny?" And he was like, "Yeah, you do too." I was like, "What?"
So yeah, you didn't know I was in it either, right?
No.
I love that.
I still don't. What's your team name? Because I didn't even ask.
The Taft Rockets.
Oh, okay. Oh, you've been in it for a long time. Okay.
Yeah, I was just telling Toby today. I just looked. Historically, I've been in his league for 8 years and I have 5 top 3 finishes.
Wow.
So I think that's needs to start considering me a dynasty, you know?
Totally.
I think. But then Dan Andriano won 3 years in a row.
That's crazy.
Dan took a year off. So I thought he was doing the Michael Jordan thing. He was like going to three-peat.
His golf year.
Yeah, go to baseball for a year and a half and then come back and three-peat again. But he lost.
That's really funny. Yeah.
That's funny.
Nice.
Well, good luck to you next year.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's funny that I have played you in fantasy football before, but didn't realize it was you.
Same.
Definitely keep drafting Khalil Mack.
He's my go-to.
Yeah, he's like your rabbit foot, your fantasy rabbit foot. Okay. So, Deanna, what is the last book you read, and what's your favorite book of all time?
Oh, you're going to hate me. I mean, I hate to sound like a millennial, but I'm not much of a reader. Is that bad?
No.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm going to be one of those one of those assholes. That
what is a book you finished in your life that you enjoyed?
That I enjoyed. Something from high school. Maybe a Vonnegut.
Ah, there you go. That's a good Midwesterner.
Yeah. I read Cat's Cradle and Slaughterhouse-Five when I was in high school.
Nice.
I think I was too stupid to understand what they are, though. Or what they were saying.
Yeah, Slaughterhouse-Five is tough to get without the historical precedence.
Yeah, I was into short stories more because I was because I'm a kinesthetic learner, I guess. Maybe that guy's right.
There you go. It comes all around now.
He was right.
So what do you use? Are you just like, when you're looking for inspiration, are you just going straight to music? Like just listening
pretty
to
much,
other people's music and other songwriters?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the show Hey Arnold?
I remember it, but I never really watched, no.
Okay. Well, it was like a cartoon in the 90s. My most recent like new song that I just demoed is about one of those episodes.
Oh, nice.
It's bizarre. So
who are some of your favorite like songwriters that you find inspirational and you kind of find yourself always going back to?
Brennan Kelly is like been my longtime hero. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of the 90s, like lately I've been listening to a lot of the Wallflowers.
Oh, nice.
Fleetwood Mac. That's not the 90s, but
so good. We talking Rumours or like Peter Green, Fleetwood Mac?
I think Rumours.
Yeah.
Whatever is on Spotify.
It's the way to go. People try to give me Fleetwood Mac stuff all the time. And I'm like, come on, give me the hits.
I'm very big on hits. I like the Eagles a lot.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I heard you had a love for dad rock, which makes me happy.
I do. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. So I don't know. I think a lot of... I like trying to, you know how it's like when it's like really simple writing, sometimes it's better.
Yeah.
Like
I do.
The Tom Petty approach.
Well, there's a reason like Tom Petty is like the most synced artist of all time, you know? Like it's sometimes that really like simple framing and messaging is definitely the most effective, especially if you're trying to
But you know Tom
write
Petty
any version of pop music.
He used to work his songs to death. Like that's
really,
you know, you listen to this Tom Petty and you're like, oh yeah, that's just like a perfect song. It's just so simple. But he would like concentrate on every single tiny detail. Mm-hmm. Like he was kind of like, I don't know. He would focus on every inflection, every word. Simplicity is the most difficult thing to pull off, man.
That's true.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But it's very cool.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
What do you think is it that makes like someone like Brendan a songwriter who really like can just write things that connect with people like that? Like, do you think like someone like that really has to be a real like student of the world type of thing?
I would say. You could just kind of, I think it comes from like, he's done a lot of living and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he reads, unlike me. You could just tell, like, he's very literate and stuff with, like, the references.
Yeah, sure. When you're listening to Brendan, like, what about that connected with you when you were younger into now?
Just, like, the rhyming was super good and like it's the songs are super catchy. But they're like dark. I don't know.
Yeah. It has that weird sense of humor to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And they're like super clever.
He's one of the best.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. Well, that was fun.
It was. Thank you so much.
Thanks for filling me in about Orland Park.
The Wikipedia.
The new record's awesome.
Thank you.
I've been listening to it a ton. Yeah, can't wait to see y'all around one day. It'll be fun.
Awesome. We should hang.
Be talking some shit about Khalil Mack from the get. Nice. From the get.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Ah, delightful. Oh. Those Midwesterners, they're like Canadians, man.
You can't, it's so hard. Who are the, all right, so we've been doing this again a couple years. Who are the hardest people to get to talk shit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely Midwest. Even more so than Canadians.
Even or more, maybe, but remember our little tied. Run with the Arizona people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't talk shit either.
Wow, that's, they're practically Mormons in that. It's almost like... They will definitely not even begin to cop to it.
No, yeah, no, not even close.
It's not even, but so they were not even like embarrassed about it. Those Arizona folks.
Oh, right.
Whereas like, you know, Deanna kind of giggled and's like, I can't talk, you know.
Yeah.
Because so, you know she could. Like, I'm not sure those guys could.
Oh, right. So the difference is they don't even conceive it.
Yeah, they could, like, they can't
just
do
don't
it.
Don't even know it exists.
Yeah, they don't have
a
the
Midwesterner
words.
Knows. They know the reality, but they won't say.
Right.
Respect. Right. I respect that. That's an important journey. Yeah, that was a fun interview.
Absolutely. We needed that one.
We did.
Lighthearted fun.
Exactly. And someone who just I like people who don't take themselves too seriously, you know?
And I, you know, I like my mouse specialists.
So can I tell you, I didn't want to tell it to Deanna. Can I tell you the story of me eating mouse or rat poop? It was my old drum space in Jersey City, which was honestly, if anybody had inspected that building, I don't think I would have been playing drums there much longer. Like it was.
I remembered. I saw that space.
Oh, yeah. You like it's pretty gross, you know, and it got worse and worse over the years. Like it just, you know, yes, more holes started popping up, more creatures started showing up. And it got to the point in there where like, you know, opening the door and hearing the crew scurry off was commonplace, you know, right. Like I knew they were around. So in my room, though, it always felt kind of safe. I didn't know they could get in there. And one day, you know, I have a bag of granola next to my drum set. That's my normal snack for me. And that day I happened to bring my son, who I think was two, you know, at the time, to like, oh, hey, you want to come play drums in my drum space? So we're jamming a little. He's playing. I see some granola. I'm like, fuck it. Take a swig. You know, I take a handful. He sees it. He wants some. I'm like, yeah, sure. Here, take a handful. He eats a little bit. And then I take the bag straight to my mouth. I just do a gulp of granola. Where I really gulped it down, like a lot. And I was like, oh, that's good. And then look in the back. What do I see? Just a big fat hole in the back of the granola box or the granola bag. I'm like, oh God, I know what that hole is. And then I open the top and finally take a look and I see some little pellets in there, little brown.
Well, that was mice, not rats.
It was mice poop. It was mice
poop. Yeah, that's almost like that's just little chocolate nugget.
But still, in the second I saw that hole, you know, that my stomach started turning. Like the second I realized that I just literally gulped down like,
yeah,
I don't know, 8 ounces of mouse shit. Like, I don't know what it was exact. So yeah, I start feeling sick. My son's sitting there playing drums, having a great time. And I'm Googling, can you die and get sick from eating too much fucking mouse poop? You know? Apparently you can't. Like, you can get really sick. Like, you can get proper fucking infections and stuff.
You did him a huge favor. You gave him, like, you just made him, like, you know, immune to, like, a whole bunch of diseases.
Yeah. He's good now. If he ever gets bitten by a rat underneath,
that'll be fine.
Underneath the subways, he won't turn into a rat king.
Right.
Oh, good. You're welcome, kid. So that's the moral of the story today.
Is eat mouse poop for strength.
Feed your kids mouse poop and advised by the, not the 5 second rule, the 2 minute rule. Fuck, it's like the 20-minute rule for me if it's a dry side up, you know? I'll eat anything. If the wet side doesn't go down, who gives a shit?
Hey, it's my house. I live here. I can eat shit off the floor. What the hell?
Yeah. That's always been my, you know, I've run into so many musicians who inexplicably still have an issue with, like, public toilets.
Oh, God.
And the same question I always ask, how often do you clean your toilet at home?
Yeah.
I'm like, literally, by law, they have to clean his toilet every day. I'm like, I don't care whose asshole I'm sharing it with. Like, like, it's cleaner. It's fine.
Yeah.
Take a poop. Relax. Read a magazine. You know, like, come on.
That's a really good point. Very good.
Thank you. Well, this is why I'm now a podcast personality, Brad. Just to drop that kind of wisdom on the world, you know? I see you got real quiet when I said podcast personality.
I was just thinking, of that as your new title. I think I like it. I'm going to get you a set of business cards. If only people did anything with business cards. If only you had
anything to do with business cards anymore.
Brad. Well, listen, I got some Thai food waiting for me in the other room.
Yeah, get in there. What are the socials here?
We got Sincere Engineer everywhere you get your socials. Instagram, yeah. Twitter, Facebook. Check out the record.
Yes.
All the records. But the latest one, what's the name of it? What's the one that you were just talking
about? The newest
about?
One? Oh, Bless My Psyche is the newest one.
Bless My Psyche.
Yeah.
It's a perfect record for these wonderful times that we live in.
It is. And if you enjoyed the program today, you can
give us a tip on Venmo at Off Track.
Tip us on Venmo. You can leave a comment, preferably sexually explicit. If you don't want to give 5 stars, then I don't know, just don't do it.
Give it to somebody else.
Keep your damn opinion to yourself.
And if you're really serious, if we really made your day with this wisdom, go to patreon.com/goingofftrack and sign up to be part of our gang.
Yeah, our crew. Every Thursday night on Discord, I
get into it.
Get into it with the people, you know? I drop these little nuggets of wisdom, like eating mouse poop will grow strong children.
Yeah. That was a freebie. You're not going to get one like that again.
Yeah, that's a tease. That's a tease. Give it a try. It's like Invermectin. What? Did I say it right?
I don't know.
Let's get out of here. This is going bad. Thanks to everyone for listening to Going Off Track. I hope you have a wonderful week. And everybody love everybody out there, you know?
Do it.